Blog Talk Radio. The Asylum has opened its doors for another session of group therapy. Join your host, Christopher Cross, for uncut, no-holds-barred, real talk with everyday people and the best entertainment has to offer. Listen or call in and make your voice heard on this latest session of group therapy.
Oh my goodness gracious, we are on air and I've got someone on my cell phone right now. Can you say hello, mystery caller?
Hi.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. You are on group therapy with Christopher Cross, darling.
Oh crap. What's going on? This is a surprise.
She giggles and she wiggles and I call her mine. I just decided to do a quick show there, baby girl, and decided to bitch, rant, and rave as only I can.
Okay. Sounds like fun.
Oh, it's loads of fun. as much fun as we had the other night when I had your ankles behind your head and you were screaming more, Big Daddy.
Okay. I'm not commenting on that right now.
Okay.
That was pretty fun too, though.
See, did we make a brown girl blush? I think we did.
Oh my.
So are you sitting at the desk at work turning three shades of red right now?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because honey, you are on worldwide North America, India, Russia. Much like $1,000 an hour call girl I get around.
Oh, you do, do you?
Abso-friggin-lutely. See, because I'm so good, I get applause.
I'll give you an applause, all right?
You will you?
I will, just for you.
All right. And the applause button didn't work, for fuck's sakes.
It's a sign.
No, it's tragic. Yeah, delayed applause. Jeez. All right, so should I keep embarrassing you on air or should I just let you go?
I don't know. I will talk to you a little later on.
Yes, you will, dear.
Okay.
Love you.
I love you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That was the wifey. No, this is how I make her scream, though. Anyways, I've got some things to settle up here and some things to talk about. Now, so some of you personally know me. I'm the farthest thing from homophobic on the planet. Like, I judge a person by their actions, not because what the heart wants, the heart wants. I am a firm believer in that. And you know what, but my daughter, she decided she wanted to be recognized as male, which I fully support, and I applaud her on her courage. But because we had a falling out as much as kids and parents do on occasion, that I get a call from the ex-wife and her saying she'll speak to me is if I pay for her sex change operation. Now, at first I didn't know whether to be insulted or and actually consider it. So I decided, knowing me, I decided to be insulted. Now, I go to the ex-wife. I said, so you're telling me that she'll speak to me if I spend like $35,000, $40,000 to get her a penis? She's like, I wouldn't put it that way. Well, I said, that's exactly the way I put it. It's like she wants to be recognized as a male. That's fine. Absolutely. I support that. But if she's going to speak to me for $40,000, I may as well put that in a trust fund for her until she's like 25. And then she can do what she wants. But like I said, I'm not going to pay for my child to be obnoxious and rude to me so she can give her boyfriend the high hard one when the surgery is complete. It doesn't work like that. It works basically if you want me to respect you, no matter what your choices are, if you want me to respect you, then the respect has to be returned. None of this, you're at me, 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 and then expect me and then come to me, but daddy, it doesn't work like that. Come on. Oh, shitty buzz, man. This is awesome sauce. I don't know, though. And what the fuck is with Trump going to that? Like, that picture going around where you have, like, the three of them. Trump, one of the leaders from Saudi Arabia, and I don't know if it's Putin or another leader, all touching that glowing crystal. I don't know, man. That looks like either a really bad, like, comic book panel or, like, ladies and gentlemen, we found a real-life Legion of Doom. Fucking just take Trump's toupee off. Fucking Lex Luthor. Oh, Lex Orange Luthor. Fucking guy puts so much cover up on. Looks like the annoying orange. Fuck though. Yeah, I know, we got some interesting things though. Like, I had the pleasure of meeting Dan Levy the other night, producer and son of Eugene Levy. Awesome guy. Really awesome guy. Like, perfect gentleman, like, really, like, some of his friends leave, like, something to be desired, but I'll do that for another show. Promotion time, kids. Promotion time. And this is promotion lesson 101. Now, one big thing I fucking hear is, and these are from guys who haven't earned their fucking stripes. These are from guys who will sit there and they'll walk into a room with their like swinging their dicks, thinking they're the best thing going, and thinking, oh, I'm too good for pay to play, I'm this, I'm that, and these bitches aren't even like these are the bitches that fucking Drake, 50 Cent, and Eminem wouldn't like take the time to like have them wipe the sweat off their balls. Like promotion 101, kids. Is at some level, everyone has to do a pay to play. Everyone. If y'all want to get paid, y'all got to do pay to play at some point. Now, the argument I'm going to get back, well, guys like 50 Cent and Drake, Peter Jackson don't have to do it. You know what? You're right. Because they've built their brand. They've built their empire. And while y'all are just sitting there swinging your dicks, they're still building. They're still grinding. If everyone wants to get paid, everyone's got to grind. Promoter, bar, especially the artist. So you're serious about it. So you're going to start off with entertaining a room of five fucking people. You start building your rent. You start hustling your tickets. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with pay to play, there's a bunch of different fucking ways to do it. But I'm gonna give you the proper way to do it. That's the proper way. Now, we will say tickets are $10 a piece, and this is face value. The promoter will hand the person 20 tickets and get a deposit of half of the face value. So if, say, 20 tickets at $10, that's, what, $200? And so he gets $100 for 20 tickets. And that's for two reasons. One, the promoter's handing over money. And that's it. Like, those 20 tickets can be 200 sold at the door, whatever the case may be. But he gets the deposit to protect his investment in the show, to make sure the show makes money. And so for those artists who may not be able to sell tickets or who haven't got a brand, who are just in this process of building their brand, he can use that deposit. And if he's a good promoter, we'll say, you know what? I see you've been grinding. let me slip you something a little extra and give you some enthusiasm. You did good. Like, but it's basically to help invest in the show. And people say, oh, you're going to have the artist do the work for you, blah, 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 blah. No, because if a decent promoter is out there with the artist, grinding, selling tickets, it's a group effort. Now, when you get to a certain level, you're in between that space of where it's pay to play and the promoter should be paying you. And this includes like a show spot, maybe a meal rider, like where, you know, the promoter feeds your ass. And then you get to that level where they want you to headline. Oh, but you need to sell tickets. Like, no, I don't. You basically sell tickets. No, it's the promoter's paying you to perform. And he gives you a meal rider and a drink rider. So basically, if the porn wants you to fuck him, he's got to feed your ass first. And that's the way it goes. But it's an investment for everybody. And the thing is, a promoter who's on point, if he sees somebody coming back to him for more tickets, so he burns 20 tickets. Comes in, oh, I need more tickets. Okay. Okay, he sells more tickets. And those ones who are filling that room, those artists who are filling that room, should maybe get some of that deposit back, to be perfectly honest with you. Because if they're going hand over fist, selling tickets, making the promoter money, then you know what? Quite honestly, you sell 20 tickets, fine. Next batch, I give you at a $50 deposit. Next batch after that, you sold 40 tickets, you basically sold half my room. Okay, you get these, there's your fee. There's an addition to your fee. But like I said, it varies from venue to venue, from promoter to promoter. But that's the proper way to do a pay-to-play. And like I said, I've heard stories about people paying $400 a spot, $500 a spot. And I've heard all kinds of clusterfucks, even when I was promoting. And the ideal show is 7, maybe 8 openings, maybe. On an indie circuit, 15, 20-minute sets, maybe half-hour sets, and then the closer. One good piece of advice, two things, though, these underground guys need to remember, is if you're a professional and the promoter says, okay, you know what, doors open at 9, but I need you there at 7 for sound check, you get your ass there. It's not you're strolling at midnight, oh, we need to check the mics and everything. No, everyone is sound checked at the same time. So you go through those things, you go through the lineup, make sure everyone is sound checked, and everything is done, boom, so the show goes off. And then the music, that's another clusterfuck I hear. Promoters need to enforce this, and the fucking artists need to smarten the fuck up. Is when a promoter or a DJ who's running the music says, I need your music by the Wednesday before the show or the Thursday before the show, so I can mix it and set it up and everything. You don't come in there and stroll in there the night of with a fucking USB. Oh, by the way, here's my music. Because to be honest, when I was promoting, if y'all did that to me, I'd kick your ass off the show right then and there. Because there's something I put on all the programs and tickets that I ever did in previous shows was card subject to change. And also, if you pull that shit, your spot is non-refundable. Because that's just you slacking. And thinking you're bigger and better than you are. Now, that being said, I'm going to sit here and just play a little something here that sort of sums up some of the excuses I've heard. But this is Afro Man, and I got high. I'll be back in 3:20 on the only podcast that matters. You are listening to Group Therapy.
Roll another.
La la ta ta la 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 ta ta la 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 la. I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I was gonna.
to go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out.
I could have cheated and I could have passed, but I got high. La la. I'm taking it next semester, and I know why.
Why?
Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Go to the next. Go to the next. Go to the next.
I was gonna go to court before I got high. I was gonna pay my child support, but then I got high.
No, you wasn't.
La da. They took my whole paycheck, and I know why.
Why, man?
Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I wasn't gonna run from the cops, but I was high.
I'm serious, man.
I was gonna pull right over and stop, but I was high. La da da. Now I'm a paraplegic, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah. Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da da. I was gonna make love to you, but then I got high.
I'm serious.
I was gonna eat your too, but then I got high. Now I'm high, and I know why. Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Come on, man. Come on.
I messed up my entire life because I got high. I lost my kids and wife because I got high.
Say what?
Now I'm sleeping on the sidewalk and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La 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 da da da. I'ma stop singing this song because I'm high.
Baby,
I'm singing this whole thing wrong because I'm high. One copy. I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I'm high. Cause I'm high. Cause I'm high.
Are you really high, though, man?
La da 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 la da da da.
He really is high, man.
Shoop shoop shooby doo wah.
Get jiggy with it. Skippity bee bop.
Oh my goodness, thank God, free at last, oh my God, I'm free at last, and they say on the seventh day that the Lord rested in his creation of the universe, and on the seventh day, Christopher Cross came to play. Oh my goodness. Oh, it is what it is, what it is. And my week starts early tonight. I got a gig to work and a dance party tonight. 80 to 100 people on a Tuesday night. Oh, have mercy. Oh, man. And I just got to say something to all my DJs, Tyler, Branko, Andy, Mikey, and everybody, much love, guys. And to all the patrons who come down to the clubs where I work, love you all. And to these special people, these people who are that special kind of stupid. Cocaine is not a good lifestyle choice. It is wrong. Oh, that brings me up to a fucking story. We're patrolling the club. As you guys know, I do tactical event and bar security. And patrolling the club, I busted two guys in the bathroom stall. Now, again, I brought this up several times before, and girls tell me two girls in the stall is a thing. Okay. Six girls in the stall, I've been told, is a thing. And that's a very interesting thing. When these stalls are small enough, man, you can't even go in and change your mind. But two girls in a stall is the same. We'll get back to that. Going back to these two guys, I think I brought this up before, where one guy gets up and he has so much fucking coke on his face. Man, he looked like Al Pacino on a Scarface, man. He sit there, man, he's laughing like, and he's thinking everybody a cockroach. So I had to go in and even have the owner clean, like, the back of the toilet, because it looked like this motherfucker poured icing sugar all over the place. And, like, he was dipping fucking donuts, man. His face was the donut, and fucking, man, like Sanford, some, man, his ass was making gorilla cookies, man. Just dipping his face in that fucking sugar, man. Coke all over his face. Dude, you think the bouncer will notice? Like, wow. Speaking of cocaine, I think this is a fucking weird reference. I read somewhere that Supernatural is going to do a crossover episode with Scooby fucking Doo, and it's going to be animated. Okay. Really? So, like, wow, man, we're going to meet Dean and Sim. What do you think about that, Scoob? I'm really excited, right? Give me a fucking break. Like, come on. Like, are they going to do, like, Scooby-Doo where it's all, like, kitty-friendly and Scooby laughing at everything? And, like, you have, the, like, Shaggy the Perpetuals and all, like, looking at everything going, zoinks! Before a shapeshifter or a vampire fucking eats his ass? And come on, you're not going to tell me that if they're going to do this Supernatural style, that Dean's just not going to sit there, look at that redhead, like, look at that redhead Daphne, going, hey, how you doing? And fucking just look at Fred and like Fred, like Fred, and the guy wearing the ascot, and sorry, just gotta tell you, I just got a text message. It's, you know, it's funny because I'm actually gonna start to giggle. Okay, so. Just a wifey. Thanks for letting me know you were on the air. You're welcome, dear. See, because sharing is caring, and I love you. God, man, I sound like a Southern Baptist preacher, man. Those perverted ones wearing the white suits. They're sweating like fucking pigs. They're sweating like pigs in a sauna, but the fucking suit is fucking like Scotch guarded. And they're all fucking red faced like they're gonna have a heart attack, but I love you. Everybody's ringing off my phone today. Anyways. No, I'm not going to get that because it's interrupting my show! Anyways. If they're going to keep doing Scooby-Doo the way, like, they're going to do Supernatural style, you're just going to have Daphne looking like Fred, or pardon me, Dean looking fucking Fred. And he's, yeah, whatever, pal. And take Daphne to the back of the Impala. And then make her truly see God. Anyways. Oh. Oh, man. I don't know, man. I've been sort of throwing off my game here today. But you know what we're going to do here? I'm in a mood for little Annie Lennox right now. So we're gonna have some sweet dreams here. On the only podcast that matters, and my name is Christopher Cross. Sweet dreams here on Group Therapy.
Some of them want to use you. Some of them want to.
This is Christopher Cross, and you are listening to Group Therapy, Andy Lennox, Your Rhythmic Sweet Dreams. Oh, everyone's vibrating me today. I feel like a vibrator. Oh, bzz, 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 bzz. Fuck, man, I should just loan... Wait, my phones are going off today. I should just fucking loan them out. Look, guys, a vibrator's going off every couple of minutes. Surprise, surprise, surprise. You know, speaking of vibrators, you know what I want to get? And this is for the wifey. I want to get her a pair of vibrating underwear where I hold the remote control. So in the most awkward place, I can just sit there and have some fucking fun. You know, I've seen these videos on YouTube. And you know what? Those look fucking awesome. Because they're sitting, their eyes are crossed and laying like, oh, that feels so good. Oh, that'd be fucking awesome, especially in a crowded restaurant. And all of a sudden we get up and there's a puddle on the seat. Oh, my God, man, oh, man. But getting back to bathroom stories in the club, the best one is I busted two twin sisters in the club. And we're talking identical twins. And for those of you who are thinking, how do you know they're identical? Did the carpet match the drapes? Well, no, you know what? They didn't. I didn't check. But this is the best, one of the best stories I have. Is they kind of, two in the bathroom stall is always kind of sketchy. But they come out, first words out of their mouth, it wasn't we weren't doing anything, or we weren't doing drugs, or we weren't having sex. And that was the first thing that even come through my mind. It's like, okay, sure. So I give them the speech, you know, we've had, you know, just doing the customer service thing. Yeah, but we weren't having sex, we're sisters. At that point, I'm looking at them like, who are you trying to convince, me or yourselves? And at that point, I'm just sort of like wondering if I should just ask her how her sister's pussy tastes. Like, come on. When you sit there and you keep stressing with the security guard, but now you're not like you're not sitting there and have your tongue three feet into your sister's what? I think you're trying to convince yourself it didn't happen. Maybe a little cocaine, a little alcohol got into the picture. You thought you were looking into a mirror and decided to, like, you know, you and your sister decided to have some fun. Huh? Kind of hot in a pornographic type way, but you know what? That would be something you'd see down south in Alabama. but one of the best stories I have, and I think this tops them all, this chick, man, I gotta give her fucking ball, like fucking credit, man, for having balls. Her and her girlfriend were banging, like fucking hanging and banging in the men's washroom. And I mean, you could tell, like, their fucking pants were halfway off. I go, like, okay, you're going to get this all. So she's all pissed I interrupted. Fuck, I guess I interrupted her before she had the big O, you know. And she comes out, and she's fucking pulling up her G-string. And it was a fucking G-string. Fucking doing her pants. And I'm like, ladies, come on. There's time and a place for everything. And this chick puts her hand down her girl's pants. I guess fucking fingers her pussy a little bit. Takes out, puts both fingers in her mouth, licks them off, and goes, the time is now and the place is wherever I want. Gives me a fucking, like the fucking devil meets Daniel Webster smile and walks out of the washroom. And at this point, like, what the fuck can I do? Like, do I kick them out? No, because when somebody's that ballsy, it's like, I gotta give them respect. It's dirty, I know, but god damn, that was an impressive amount of balls. Oh, fuck. Oh, man. And this other thing I'm going to comment, I may do a show for the Pride Parade, I may not. And this, I don't know if anybody has any, like, commentary on this, is now the Black Lives Matter movement, I've said before, I get their message. I agree with their message. Their methods, not so much. And the police have been banned from uniform, from appearing in the Pride Day parade. Now, my question to that, and this is to the Pride organizers of Toronto Pride, isn't the atmosphere you're supposed to be celebrating is acceptance of everybody? And isn't this counterproductive to what you've been trying to do with your relationship with the police department and everything? Isn't it counterproductive? And what added on top of this, that the New York Police Department have been fully invited Toronto's police to march in uniform in the New York City Pride Parade. So, John Tory, you gutless, fucking spineless piece of male erectile tissue, take a stand. Black Lives Matter and these other political groups don't set city policy. Like, yes, work needs to be done in police relations. And much like I say when I train security guards to work the event and club circuit, that there are some guys in the industry who have no business being there and who should have lost their license and been jailed a long time ago. And the same goes for cops. That there are some cops who have no business having a fucking badge because they're fucking idiots or fucking just, like, they're thugs. But when you support something that is progressively detrimental to all parties involved, not only does that make you responsible for any backlash, Mr. Tory, that may come from this, it puts you and your entire office into a bad light because you're supporting something that has the potential to segregate a portion of the population. Now, people are going to tell me, oh, cops, this, cop, that. I get the fuck the police mentality. But like I said, again, in my industry, that I work with the police and I have to work with the police. Because unfortunately, like I said, as much as I've met asshole cops who have no business having a badge, I've met and I am friends with a lot of good guys on the police force who honestly just go out there and try to do a good job. And those are the ones who you pray to God answer the calls. But on that note, I just think something. And then today is sort of depressing too. 007, Roger Moore passed away as well from battled cancer at the age of 89. And like, come on, everybody's dropping again. Chris Cornell, Roger Moore. Like, is it gonna be another where like 2016 where fucking talent's dying, or just we're getting to that age where we're noticing it more? Not quite sure here, but, you know, for the last, I don't know, 7 minutes, I think maybe what we'll do is we'll just play a little something, fuel, leave the memories alone for the last 4 minutes, and we'll probably close out the show. My name is Christopher Cross. You are listening to the only podcast that matters, a rant and rave edition, just a few things, of Group Therapy.
So here I am. Thoughts of you and this world I've left in me. Stoic faces when I think of you and how I once believed. So now you call me, but you know I won't let you through. I've myself to deceive.
And that was Fuel, Leave the Memories Alone, on the only podcast that matters. I am Christopher Cross. We're in the last 2 minutes, like I said, and that was for Chris Cornell from Soundgarden, Hangman, I believe a bunch of other bands he brought to, like, platinum and mainstream, like more, he's a rock god. And then Roger Moore, and among others, some of the stars and people we've lost. And even the man who had the bombing in Manchester, England. Kind of one of those things you just sort of sit there and reflect on who and what means the most to you. On that note, I think here we're just going to close it out. And I think we're going to close it in our trademark style. So I've got some of the girls coming in here just for a little casting couch audition. So on that note, this is Christopher Cross. You are listening to Group Therapy. See you next time, kids.